Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was a younger club. Do you recall an 8-26-39 when you were the first player ever to bat in the televised? I had no recollection of it at the time or whatsoever. I didn't know about it after it was done. Now, as a matter of fact, I didn't know about it until many years later. I didn't know about it until after I was retired and down here in Florida. And one day I was passing the bag room of the club to which I belong and where I play. And now, and this is maybe 15, 16, 18 years ago, when I passed the bag room entrance, one of the bag room boys was reading a trivia book, and he hailed me as I walked by. He said, "Mr. Werber," he said, "did you know that you were the first player to ever appear in a televised Major League ball game?" I said, "No." I said, "I didn't know it." And so he said, "Well, here it is right here in this book." And then he showed it me in the book. And actually, that was the first time I ever knew it at all. And since that time, I've read it in several different places, and people have called it to my attention. But I didn't know it at the time, no.
Okay.
Number 15, do you have any regrets from your career, and would you do it again? Well, I have no regrets from having played baseball. I don't like the word career. I never used the word career. The players of my day never referred to it as careers. I never heard the expression used by the players back then.
It's a relatively new term, I believe. It's used now all the time, but I think you're right. I think up until maybe the 60s, it wasn't referred to as a career.
They never viewed it as that.
It was their playing days.
They were playing a game. They were having fun. I remember, just like it was yesterday, I'm sitting in the dugout. Grove is going to pitch, and I'm sitting on his left, and Rick Farrell is on my left, and we're telling stories in the dugout. It's doing batting practice, and we're laughing and giggling, and Rick Farrell nudges me, and he's in my ribs, and we're all chuckling and laughing on the bench. And he says, "Can you imagine getting paid for doing this?" And that's the way most of them felt. Now, those ball players in those days, they would not sign a contract for 2 or 3 years. And you know why they wouldn't?
Huh.
Because they felt they were going to have a great year, and they'd ask for more money the next year.
Yeah.
I played 13 years, and I never had more than a one-year contract. Never wanted more than 1 year.
Well, you're playing this year for what you're going to make next year. That's the way it ought to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't interested in messing around. I felt like I was going to have a hell of a year, and next year I'd stick them.
Yep, good.
They were tough. And would you do it again? No, I don't think I would. I still think I was intended for the law. I never did get back to the law. I probably made more money by going the route that I did go. I did all of the necessary work to get a CLU degree, and I became very successful in the pension business. I I had, that when I turned my business over to my son, I had over 100 pension cases on the books.
Wow.
And I gave him that business. And but it was the players were nicer then. It was a good bunch of boys. Those Cincinnati Reds and New York Giants, and, well, the Philadelphia A's had a lot of misbehaving, but most of the other teams, the boys were pretty solid. Pretty solid. They were nice, clean-living kids.
Uh-huh.
Nice clean-living kids.
Certainly is a different world from today's baseball players.
Yeah, and they, you know, the type of kids you could say, come on home and have done it with us.
Uh-huh. And they were, with the train travel, you knew your teammates a lot better than you must know them today.
Yeah, and most of the guys were lobby sitters. You either sat in the lobby and talked baseball, or went to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big deal. That was the big deal. And mostly the guys 19, 20, 21 years old were married. Nice girls.
Mm-hmm.
Nice young men.
That sounds like a much better time to play.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That's good. That's the main thing.
Yeah, some of the guys were not too well educated, but they were nonetheless nice people. You don't have to be educated to be nice.
No, sir. Sometimes it helps not to be, I think.
Huh?
Sometimes it helps not to be educated to be nice.
Yeah, that's right. Old Grove, now Grove had a minimal education, but Grove on that mound was a lion,
mm-hmm.
L-I-O-N. I'll tell you, the heart of a lion. And he came out of the mountains up at Lonoconing in western Maryland. And boy, when you knew he hit, you had him out there. You had a Sergeant York.
I bet he must have been terrific.
Yeah.
With the 300 major league wins and, what, 120 or something in the minor leagues?
Yeah, he was the type of guy, too. You better not come out there and ask him for that ball. He'd run your ass out of there.
Yeah, he was tough.
These guys were characters.
I bet they were.
Nice fellows.
Well, this has been absolutely, I think, without question, the best interview I have ever done. And I haven't had to say much. It's even the best part. I can just sit here and listen to you. This has really been marvelous. Let me, this is something I want to do, but if you don't want it, I won't do it. I like to send the interview to the person before I send it into the magazine.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't want to say anything that you don't want said, or something I've misunderstood or misquote you. I don't want to do that. So
yeah.
It'll probably be 4 or 5 days anyhow before I get this typed up.
Yeah.
And I'll send it to you, and I will not send it to the magazine until I hear back from you.
Yeah, I'll read it and send it back to you.
Wonderful. And when it is published, and that's anybody's guess, that their schedule just, it's hit or miss, but it's usually about 6 months after I send it in.
Yeah.
But when it is published, we'll send you as many copies of the magazine as you would like.
Oh, I don't bother with things like that.
Okay, you don't want a copy?
Well, I'd like to see the copy that you submit.
Okay, well, that for sure, the manuscript will come to you before it goes anywhere else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that that is great. This is, as I say, this has, I think, been the best interview. I've done a bunch of them. I think this has been the best. And as I told you, I was totally convinced in my mind for some reason that you wouldn't respond, which is why I didn't write you about 3 years ago.
Oh, God.
There's no reason for it. Absolutely no reason. This is about the third time now that I've finally written somebody I wanted to talk with, but I knew they wouldn't answer, and they have answered. I'm not a very good judge, I guess.
I'm easy to get to.
Don't think I've ever spoken to anyone who was as complete and as forthcoming as you have been. It's great. It makes it so much easier. Some of the guys I ask questions to, and I'll try to phrase a question about their playing days that I think is a good question that they're going to be able to give me a good answer, and they'll say yes or no, and that's their complete answer. And you can't do an interview with yes and no answers, or they'll say I don't remember, which is even worse.
That is very encouraging.
It's very frustrating. But this
I've written a book. I've written a couple of books. I've written three books. One I wrote back in 1978. I'd read so many bad books on baseball. I wrote this book, Circling the Bases, about the nice people I'd met in baseball.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you can get a copy. Thinking about where you were near.
Well, I have to go up. I'm writing a book right now on the bonus baby days of the 1950s, where the players had to take 2 years with the major league team when they signed for a bonus. And I've got to go to Cooperstown to do some research.
There are copies of this book in Cooperstown.
Right. I will definitely. I would love to read it, and I will.
Circling the Bases.
Well, I've just written that down. Yes, I would love to read it. And I would like to own a copy, so I will check around.
I'll write about Clark Griffith,
uh-huh.
Happy Chandler, Connie Mack, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Bill Dickey, Tom Yawkey, all of the owners that I played for I knew, and Home Run Baker,
mm-hmm.
who was one of the finest gentlemen I think I've ever met. I shot with Home Run Baker on the Choptank River for about 8 years, and then I leased the place on the Choptank River, and his son took care of it for me for about 8 or 10 years, and I entertained clients there. Baker was a marvelous person, and during the time that I hunted with Baker, he filled me in on people of his era, Ty Cobb and Eddie Collins and Bender and Plank and all of these people going back in that era.
Yeah. Well, that must have been great.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, I will find a copy of that because I would love to read it. And if your book is as good as your interview, it's got to be awfully good. The problem is people don't want to read nice things about people.
Well, you won't find in this book any curse words. You won't find any sex. And you won't find any downgrading
good.
Of anyone because I wrote it for my grandchildren. And I wrote it to give them some of the flavor of the times as I saw it. And you won't find anything in there that isn't the truth.
That's even better.
And you'll enjoy reading it.
Well, I will definitely read it.
There's a lot of good baseball stuff in there.
Good. That's great.
Sir.
Bill, thank you so very much. This is, as I said, this has been really great. I'll have a copy of the manuscript to you, roughly a week, I guess, by the time it gets to you in the mails.
Right. Take your time.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Good night.
Thursday, 8:50 p.m.